So we're talking about sheep today. I've seen several versions, or at least several uploads, of a particular sheep video on YouTube. It's very short, about 8 or 9 seconds, and here's what it shows. It shows sheep that are running down a hallway. I mean, it's a pen kind of a thing, a narrow area, and they're running through. Is it a chute? Is that what it's called? Okay, they're running through a chute, and they're running underneath a blockage of some kind. And one of them comes along and tries to jump over the blockage and hits its head on the blockage, smacks into it, bounces back, and then keeps going. It's very fast and a little bit alarming. And it's also usually used as evidence of, look at how stupid sheep are. Look, this one ran into the wall. And I wonder, does that mean that one person tripping and falling is evidence that all humans are stupid? What do you think? No, it's not. Here's some sheepish facts. Sheep tend to stay close to other sheep. If they get separated, they become quite agitated and uncomfortable. And they know that when they're together as a flock, they're more protected from predators. So they like to be together. They like to be in sheep community. Also, sheep recognize sheep faces and human faces to some extent. They recognize sounds and can even recognize the voice of a shepherd who tends to the flock that they're part of. That whole thing from Babe, the movie. You remember Babe the movie from, I don't know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago? The sheep could understand the pig. That was kind of cool. But that was fiction, and this is real. They understand. They see faces. They understand voices, or at least hear voices and recognize them. Also, sheep know how to choose the kind of food that will give them the best nourishment based on the season and their dietary needs. So they are self-controlling in their diet. They are way smarter than humans in that regard. We just eat what tastes good, right? And then eat some more. I guess we can also stop, but we're not great at that. All in all, sheep are pretty intelligent animals. Shepherds, on the other hand, can be good for or not good for their flock. If they care for the sheep and seek to protect them from trouble, then they do what is good for the sheep. If they try to lead them astray and run at the first sign of danger, they don't. This morning's Bible reading is kind of about that stuff. And maybe it's all too simple. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, a shepherd that cares deeply for the flock and does not desert them when there is trouble." The good shepherd has a connection with the sheep. Someone who doesn't care about the sheep can never have. So in a very simple way of looking at things, we're the sheep, intelligent and in need of a shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. We get to think, ponder, consider, wonder, doubt, and Jesus gets to do what Jesus does. We're all recipients of this love and this care from Jesus. And so in the Bible reading from today, you can read that and find comfort and peace and say, yes, Jesus is with us. Jesus is the good shepherd. There's also the bit in there about the hired hand that it runs away when the wolves arrive. Not everyone who pretends to care really does. I don't know how else to describe that, but I think that's what Jesus is getting at. And then there's this line that it's easy to brush over it and think, does it really fit in with the reading, or is it something different? It's not comforting, or it is comforting. It's the one that says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." One flock. Do you know who that includes? I've probably said this particular kind of thing before. If there's one flock, who is included in one flock? Yes, everyone enfolded in God's love. That's it. Everyone enfolded in God's love. Different beliefs, different ideas, different expressions, and no litmus test that says, unless you believe this way, you cannot belong. Jesus just lays it out there. One flock enfolded in God's love. So, people with many different ideas on a whole lot of things, enfolded. That can be your word right now. I'm going to say a sentence, a series of things, and every time I pause, just say first softly, but we'll kind of raise it up there. Say enfolded. It's kind of a good word. It's not one that you say every day. Enfolded. So let's try it once. Enfolded. Peter and Paul, they had such arguments that they had to separate from one another. Still, yep, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, agnostics, atheists,
enfolded.
Yes, people of every age, economic status, ethnic origin, gender identity, marital status, mental and physical ability, political affiliation, and sexual orientation. Natural born, naturalized, immigrant, undocumented. People who do good. People who do evil. People who don't care. God loves the whole world. So how do we respond? The easy thing to say is we respond by saying, you know, we act or we live as if we believed that, even if we don't always believe it, even if any of the things that I listed here make you go, oh, but not, really, them? There's no them in God loves the whole world. There's no them in God loves the whole world. There's only an us, a giant us, 7 billion cousins, all seven billion cousins. Do you know that really is true? Did I say that a few weeks ago in church? A.J. Jacobs is the author who wrote a wonderful book several years ago called The Year of Living Biblically, where he tried to live the Old Testament for a year. It's a hilarious book. His wife did not enjoy the writing of that book, but she actually had some fun at one point while he was doing that, because while trying to follow the Old Testament codes, there was this thing about when you could like be around a woman and not around a woman, old archaic things, but it's in there. And so his wife decided that since he was not able to sit on the chair where she was sitting during a particular time, she sat everywhere in the house. She just sat down everywhere and left a little tiny wooden stool for him, just to get him, like, you're going to follow that code? Fine. Anyway, A.J. Jacobs, wonderful writer. He is a Jewish person, and he says that he's a Jew like Olive Garden is Italian. But he's an editor for Esquire magazine, has written a whole bunch of books, and his latest project is about genealogy and DNA and how he has found that either through blood or through marriage, everyone is related to everyone. You got to go back kind of far. And it takes the whole Ancestry.com thing, and you're like, oh, really? Because my dad found out I'm related to Charlemagne, and that was really cool. And I'll bet you all are related to Charlemagne. I'm not sure, but, you know, if everyone's related to everyone, we're all cousins. So AJ's been going around and taking pictures with celebrities and non-celebrities that says, I'm a cousin, you know, and posting those on his website. And sometime in June, he's having a giant family reunion. And everyone is invited. All 7 billion people. That's it. We're all together in this. We don't need to argue about everything. We can argue about some things, but then we can sit down and we can remember that we're all cousins. We're all together. We are all a part of God's love. Amen.